Last week, we set out to what we set out to do was really discuss the relationship between corporate and like more frontline employees. And ultimately, what we really ended up discussing was disparity in pay between those two groups. So I think it's at this point, I think a pretty natural progression to just like, let's just talk about salary and pay.
Yeah, that was an interesting conversation last week. So in 2018, Pew Research Center reported that though Americans' paychecks are bigger now than they were in the 80s, purchasing power is almost the same.
Yes, and that disconnect has really fueled a lot of activism around fair wages that we've actually been seeing for several years now, like the push for $15 federal minimum wage, which even if that were enacted today, would actually still be too low for many parts of the country, not even considering many minimum wage jobs purposely keep employees below a full-time status.
Yeah, and the article cites many reasons wages may be stagnant, which includes rising healthcare costs, decline of labor unions, lagging educational attainment in comparison to other countries, non-compete clauses, and broad decline in manufacturing and production jobs.
So despite the slow growth, in 2021, the Economic Policy Institute reported that CEO salaries have actually grown 1,322% in almost that same time frame. In 2020, CEOs were paid 351 times as much as their typical worker.
That is insane.
That growth. Yes, it is crazy. And I think to continue to be fed the same line of like, there's a reason that wages are low. Mm-hmm. And there absolutely is a reason that wages are low. But I think we can see that it's not necessarily because of inflation or rising costs of anything, except for, I think, those sort of higher end wages. But to really understand this topic, we need to understand how these things are broken down. So Indeed actually pulled together some statistics from the Bureau of Labor and Statistics in 2021 that reported that at the time of the report, there were 111.5 million full-time workers in the US, with a mixture of them being salary and hourly. The average weekly earnings for a U.S. worker were $984. If that person works for 52 weeks, that's an annual salary of $51,168. The five states that were the highest average salaries are, of course, California. I think we expected that. Mm-hmm. Connecticut, Massachusetts, New York, and Washington. So we're seeing these are all coastal states.
Yeah, not surprising. And there were five factors cited as heavily contributing to salary average. One was geographic location, as we just talked about. Some of the cities with the highest average salaries were San Francisco, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, Chicago, and Boston. And education was also a factor. So someone with a high school diploma earns an average of $40,612 versus a college graduate who earns about $73,892. And then gender, you know, we hear a lot about gender pay gap. And so at the time of publishing, there was a 16.6% difference between what men and women earn. Age is also an issue. So typically people see their salary progress over their lifetime, though men see their rate increase quicker than women, and the gap tends to widen as age progresses. And within each age group, men consistently earn more than women. And then in terms of job type, roles requiring advanced degrees or training like medical, software, computer sciences earn 3 to 6 times higher salaries. Teaching or skilled trades offer wages closer to the national average, and entry-level jobs in retail or recreation offer wages at 50% less than the average.
So Zippia cited a Pew Research study that states middle income in the U.S. is between $40,100 and $120,400 per year, which is a massive gap. Those are two like really different lifestyles, to be honest. I think even regardless of where someone lives, mm-hmm. that's almost $100,000 difference, which I think is a little bit I don't know. That seems weird to group those two ranges or that range all in together. But that same study stated that 37.2 million Americans, 11.4% of the population, live in poverty in 2020. And that's actually a 1% increase since 2019. Zipia reports further on income disparity when broken out by race and gender. White women earn 82.6% of what their male counterparts earn. Latine women earn 86.5%. Black women earn 81.6%. And Asian women earn 70.4%.
And in 2020, the U.S. saw one of its largest gaps in pay between genders at 17.7%, being the fifth largest gap globally. So Latvia, Japan, Israel, and Korea had larger gaps, with Korea's being the largest at 31.5%.
So out of all these numbers that we just discussed, there's one final one that I was actually really shocked when I found this. And it was all part of the same, I believe it was the Zipia article, actually. So according to the Zipia report, the 2021 data shows that the average U.S. salary is actually now $990 weekly, or $47,520, which is actually a 7.1% decrease. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with our thoughts. I think one of the things that's interesting is, I don't have it here, but I know from other things, that the only demographic that regularly outpaces white men in pay is Asian men.
Really?
It is.
Okay.
So it's interesting to me that now, well, not now, but that Asian women, I did not expect Asian women to be the lowest.
Yeah, I started laughing when you said that.
Yeah, you did.
I said, of course.
Yeah. Do you feel, though, that, like, I don't know, has that been your experience?
Honestly, you know, we were in the beauty industry, and I didn't see a whole lot of Asian men.
Oh, okay.
Right?
I thought you were going to say Asian women.
I didn't see a whole lot of Asian men to compare myself to think, oh, you know, is this person getting paid more than me?
Yeah.
Like Asian to Asian. I have never really thought about it that way of, you know, am I getting paid more than my Asian counterpart? It would just be, am I getting paid more or less than my male counterpart.
Sure.
Yeah. But that number was shocking Asian women earn 70.4% of what their male counterparts earn.
Yeah. And to be clear, and I should have put this in here, I'm pretty sure that is their white male counterparts.
Okay.
I don't know for sure. Because it didn't segment men out in that specific report. Yeah. Because men, it said somewhere else, men are always higher.
Yeah.
Which that didn't surprise me because I think that's been a big part of this conversation for a long time now.
Right.
I think what surprised me was the fact that there's a 12% difference in women between white women all the way to Asian women. Also, now that I'm just catching this, is that Latine women actually earn a higher percent than white women, which I think, again, with what is, like, as part of the conversation, I think that kind of surprised me, that white women on average were earning a little bit less than Latine women, because that's just not, I think, what you stereotypically would think.
Yeah, I mean, these numbers were very interesting and made me do a double take to really, you know, absorb what they were talking about in terms of the salary disparity. But I know that, you know, in general, especially, you know, we talked about companies' diversity, equity, and inclusion effort. And, you know, as part of the equity pillar, a lot of companies are looking at addressing gender pay gap. And I think the numbers here pretty much speak for themselves. Depending on the source that we were looking at a difference of between 16.6% to 17.7%, which is huge, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're doing the same amount of work, how is it that the women are getting paid almost 20% less than their male counterpart?
Yeah, and you know, the other thing that surprised me, I think, is the fact that we're consistently being told by corporations, and I think Starbucks is a big one right now, saying, you know, we're going to increase our prices again. We did it not too long ago,
yeah.
But it's because of inflation. And of course, Starbucks has been in the news, or at least on Twitter, a lot for union busting lately.
Yes.
And so I think it's really interesting that, you know, despite these kind of stories that were being fed, the data actually shows that these price increases cannot possibly be from pay increase, because the average pay is actually decreasing in the U.S. right now.
Yeah.
And that's actually with unemployment actually sort of evening back out. Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't a case of you know, people having to necessarily maybe take jobs that they wouldn't normally take. Like, a lot of that has sort of dissipated, and the job market has more or less recovered, in the sense that the people who want to be working, for the most part, are working. It's not too hard to find a job right now. I think if you don't have one, mm-hmm. if that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
And I will say that's from my limited scope. I really, I don't have stats on that, so maybe I should be saying that. But that's kind of my impression, is that for the most part, you know, we talked about this, I think, in one of our first episodes, that like people who are not, or people who are leaving their jobs are not doing nothing. They're typically leaving their jobs to go to other jobs. We of course know that there are a ton of open jobs right now where you and I used to work. There are a lot of open jobs.
Yes.
I think probably open jobs that were open from even before we left.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, I think, just interesting that, you know, as usual, this episode kind of started as something else. I actually wanted to talk about pay ranges. Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you a little bit about that, because you were a hiring manager mm-hmm. in a very large corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am a little bit curious about how you approached mm-hmm. sort of the topic of pay ranges and things like that, because mm-hmm. my personal take is I think they are meaningless. And I think that there's always budget constraints until either you have a great candidate that's about ready to walk
mm-hmm.
or you have a great person that's, you know, ready to walk. And then all of the sudden the budget constraints, you know, are let up and there's suddenly more money. Which is why I just think that, like, I don't know, if you have a job and you've placed a value on that job, just pay what that value is. Like,
yes.
I don't understand the need for like a low end and a high end.
Mm-hmm.
And what I hear a lot is like, oh, it's, you know, it's experience, it's education, it's blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, like, you either value this job or you don't value this job.
Mm-hmm.
I do understand maybe instances where you have, you know, a set salary
mm-hmm.
and you have someone who fits it, but it's not quite enough. And then you truly are finding more. Like, I get
mm-hmm.
that scenario, but I think that we've been so gaslit for so long to believe that like what's on the table is what's there
mm-hmm.
when we know that, you know, there's still a lot more in the kitchen available. And, but I, you know, but we've been lied to for so long
yeah.
that like what's here is here, but that's, we know that that's not true. So how, you know, what was your approach in like helping? 'Cause I know you didn't decide on a salary, but I'm sure you
yeah.
had input on
yes.
like where you thought someone would fit.
Mm-hmm.
So what was your approach to that?
Ooh, there's a lot to unpack there. But let's also start off with, you know,
sure.
your last thing that you
what
talked about. when you talked about this in general, that, that salary has actually decreased,
oh, yeah.
right? That was really shocking when we first talked about it, when we were talking about producing this episode. You know, I think we were both taken aback by that.
Yeah.
And, you know, to liken it to a pizza pie, right? It's like our pizza is shrinking and, you know, there are people are still trying to see how to slice it while CEOs are taking an entirely different pizza by themselves, right?
That analogy fell apart so fast.
They're just taking other boxes of pizza boxes that are sitting there,
sure,
right?
Sure. So I think what you're getting at.
while the peasants down here are fighting over a smaller
yes.
piece or smaller pie of pizza.
I think what you're getting at, though, is, and I didn't say it explicitly, but that we are actually making as a generation, especially millennials, we're actually making like more money than our parents made. We're making more money than a lot of generations before us. But the problem is our spending power is way, way less. Yeah. So, you know, for an example, the old salary between my husband and I, we were making a lot of money, but we cannot afford a house where we were living. You know what I mean? Like it's that type of thing where like we were two working you know, professionals who both made really good money. We don't have, you know, we don't have a lot of like life expenses that I think a lot of, I almost said more traditional, oh my God, but you know what I mean? Like life expenses that a lot of other, maybe couples would have.
Like children.
Like children. But yeah, like you just like, it just blew my mind that there were people that at work that could afford houses, afford cars. I couldn't figure it out. And I remember before I moved down, a friend of mine actually had my role for briefly. And I remember them texting me because they were moving to California from another part of the country. And I remember them texting me to say, how do you make this work?
Yes.
Like, how do you make this work? And the pushback that they kept getting from our HR specifically was, well, don't you have a significant other? And they were like, yeah, but like that shouldn't factor into my salary and like what I am compensated. And they really had this back and forth for my understanding a little bit. And then they finally ended up leaving because they were just like, it is not sustainable for me to live in a really expensive area of the, you know, one of the most expensive states. When, you know, I can't buy a car, I can't buy a house. And this person was coming from a place where like they had a really nice house. You know, they were able to like live really comfortably to probably having to go back to like apartment living, and, you know, and then they had kids and like, it just wasn't feasible. And I thought that that was really interesting. And then when I came into the role and kind of had the same issues where I was like, listen, like I used to drive a company car. I now, you know, I'm being told I have to buy my own car. It just wasn't feasible for me to pay for an apartment. And I don't even live in like, I mean, I live in a nice area, but I don't live in like,
I don't live in Beverly Hills.
Yeah. Like I don't live in Beverly Hills. I don't even live in West Hollywood. Like I live in a part of the Valley that is more affordable.
Yeah.
And I don't think my rent is even that outrageous. And, it just, the same thing we talked about last week, like it just continues to upset me. I don't even want a car, to be honest, but like, it's just the fact that like, even if I had wanted a car, really needed one, I wasn't able to buy one on what they were paying me.
It's the principle.
Yeah.
And trying to unpack what you were talking about earlier in terms of visibility to pay ranges and whatnot. So in hiring, you know, obviously it comes down to the P&L, right? And then every leader is allocated amount to spend towards salaries. And, you know, on the income statement, this will show as controllable fixed costs. Anyway, on that fun note, so everyone is given allocated an amount, and then every role has a range. So if you are a specialist, here's the range that they should be making, and here, you know, manager, senior manager, director, so on and so forth. And you do go off that range because I will ask, okay, well, what is the, and honestly, I didn't want to have the salary conversation with candidates because that wasn't really my lane.
Okay.
That was what HR was supposed to take care of.
Interesting.
And so I just knew the range because I would have to put it, you know, in a job description that I submit to HR to say, here is the, you know, the range for it. But I would think that, you know, across different functions too, that range differed depending on the title.
Sure.
So not, you know, people in education probably were not getting paid in the same range as marketing.
I know we weren't. Even when I was in sales, though, we were consistently paid less than the sales people, despite I had a larger area to cover because I worked with in the beginning, I worked with like 9 salespeople, and I think because they had done some cuts, I think by the time I left that role, I had 6 salespeople across different channels. But that's the thing is they all made, I know they all made more money than me because there was a point where a bunch of people were leaving. And this was when we were still with the second company between like through all the phases that we had been with. And a bunch of people were leaving from the field specifically. And I got a phone call early, early in the morning from my manager and like 6:30 in the morning. And she was like, hey, I'm sorry for calling you so early. And she called me work phone. Like it wasn't like she called my personal phone, but she called my work phone. She's like, I'm so sorry it's so early, but I'm just so excited. I'm happy to let you know that you're getting a $10,000 raise. And I was like, oh, okay. And she said, to be clear, not everyone is getting this. So, you know, just keep it to yourself, which is always common, you know, don't talk about salary, blah, blah, blah. It's complicated. And so months go by and I start kind of trying to figure out who else got this money because I don't understand how we were picked, what all happened there. And I finally ended up finding 2 other people that got it by like just breaching the topic close enough that I kind of got them to break. So 2 of my friends ended up getting it as well. We all got the same amount. And I remember one of them calling it, who worked in sales, calling it a 10% raise. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I am far below. This was much more than 10% for me. And so that was kind of how I figured out the sort of, I guess, disparity between the 2 sides, which again, I understand most of them had degrees, had some background, but I still think that there is something to be said for those of us who, and actually a lot of us did have degrees. I did not, but I mean, my manager when I left had an MBA. Most of my teammates, or at least I would say maybe half my teammates had bachelors, but I still don't think they were making as much as the people in marketing. And I think that at some point you do have to say like, I don't know. Do you feel like, and be honest, do you feel like marketing could have done their job without education?
No, I don't think so. And, you know, I think, you know, the reason why you and I work so closely, other than the fact that, you know, we didn't have people to do it, is because I value education, right? And I think for me, I didn't necessarily have to, I think I went out of my way to ensure that education was always involved into marketing plans because
you did.
I saw the importance of having that portion or that, you know, the knowledge and the function that functional knowledge that you all bring to the business. But, you know, not everyone feels the same way or felt the same way. I think it's different. It's also the scope of the business that you're looking at. You know, if you're looking at from my perspective, because I was marketing, you know, marketing function did look at a much larger scope of the business. And so, you know, that could have played a part into it. I think where it gets to be tricky, you know, again, we're talking about the range of salary is that that range also changed, you know, year over year, because you're looking at, okay, what is the market paying, right? And it's interesting because then you, especially in functions like e-commerce, right, where people are getting paid much more.
I was just going to say, did I screw up by not going to? Because I think I could have gone to the e-com team.
Yes. Well, no, not our not not at our company, but I'm talking about in the marketplace, right?
If everywhere else, e-com makes more.
Yeah. everywhere else. You know, obviously that's why people, a lot of people want to get into tech because they, pay scale is, you know, more,
right? My husband works in tech. Those salaries are large.
Yeah. So when you look at it, you already know if you wanted to, if your goal in life was to make a lot of money, there are a couple industries that you know you want to work in, right? And tech is one of them. And with that said, you know, as, you know, the company that we were working for, you know, you're getting into situations also where, even for me, where people who are going to directly report to you are now asking for salaries higher than what you make as a director, right? And I think this is not even just a director, senior manager type of relationship. This was actually happening a little bit more frequently when senior managers were trying to hire managers, where managers were asking for a higher salary than what the current senior manager was making. And it brings a lot of questions to the surface of then people also asking themselves, am I getting paid enough? If there are multiple candidates coming in and saying that they want a higher base salary than what I currently make. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you do those kind of market adjustments and looking at, you know, okay, if you're increasing the pay scale for each candidate or each position and you're actually increasing that, you also have to look at the organization and say, okay, we need to right size what we're paying our own employees. Because I mean, I think that's also one of the reasons why people start looking, right? Because you realize, oh, you're asking this much money to do work that is actually going to be reporting into me. Maybe I should be going somewhere else and looking for this, you know, higher salary, right? And so I think it just brings, I mean, it opens up a whole new can of worms. And for me specifically, you know, I've had a lot of trials and tribulations when it comes to salary.
Yeah.
And so that's also why I laughed when, you know, it said Asian women earn, you know, 70.4% less, or 40, or not less, but 70.4% of what their male counterparts earn. That's
quite a difference, right? Yeah. First, I was like, no, it's less.
No. That would be really bad. Yeah. Then, you know, I'm gonna, you know, set things on fire. But, but you know, when I read that, I was like, oh yeah, like that totally makes sense. Not that I knew exactly what people were making, but I could guess at it. And then sometimes, you know, it would boil my blood because I would be like, you know, we are doing same work. If not, I'm doing more and I'm getting paid a lot less than you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, so much to unpack when it comes to salaries and, you know, and I do think that people, as someone, you know, who is now, you know, not employed, when I do look at job listings, I do think
you look at job listings?
Sometimes I do, just to see what's out there.
Sickness.
Just to see what's out there. Sure. And then I think to myself, yeah, they should post what their salary, you know, range or whatever it is, because, you know, when you look at, or when you watch, you know, those coaching sessions or videos by HR professionals, they tell you, oh, you should never let the HR person know what number it is that you're looking for. And then they give you different advice on how to go about having that conversation so you don't say that number. But it's never really worked that way. When I've talked to recruiters, when I've talked to other HR professionals, they're like, no, we just need to know if we're within range. So I don't know. It's an interesting conundrum.
Yeah. I think you said a couple things. One being it's past, so I won't even bring that up. But there was one thing you brought up that you were talking about, like, you know, I make this much and someone, you know, who works for me is now asking for above that. Mm-hmm. You know, does that mean, I think 10 years ago, we looked at that and we're like, how entitled? How dare you? But I think the conversation has started to shift. I still don't think it is where it needs to be. But especially talk about the minimum wage. Mm-hmm. Because to be honest, I think for the most part, if you're working for a pretty large company and you work in the more corporate environment, you're probably doing fine. I'm not as concerned, to be honest, because those don't tend to be the people who are like, you know, part of the increasing population experiencing poverty. Mm-hmm. This is, of course, not across the board, but I'm just saying, for the most part, I think that you don't see that disparity in an office, in a corporate office environment, as much as you might see it in other larger companies that have more of a, like a frontline presence, like a retail store or a fast food place. And that's really where we tend to see that is it's like, well, why would a McDonald's worker, why should they get $15 an hour when an EMT only makes $12 an hour? And it's like, well, yeah, EMTs should make more than 12. Yes. Like, that's what you should be mad about. Don't get mad that a McDonald's worker wants to be able to pay most of their bills every month. Mm-hmm. Get mad about the fact that also an EMT worker cannot pay their bills every month. And I think that's where the conversation keeps getting so misdirected. And it gets directed in the way that the people who, you know, are making 1,300% more than their workers, that's, they want it directed downward. Because the fact is, and we talked about this last week, when you have companies where the CEO is banking $400 million a year and, you know, they're reliant on these 1099 workers that are making $2 to $3, you know, every job that they take with you, like the imbalance is very easy to figure out, that the rising cost of, it's not the $2 to $3 that this person's getting, it's the $400 million that this CEO is banking every year, who still won't answer my tweets.
I mean, but that's the pizza thing, right? Not to keep bringing back to pizza, and I'm not hungry, but
I don't understand the pizza but analogy.
If why are we fighting over the smaller pizza, when the CEO is sitting there and he
has its own pizza. Yeah, okay,
and
here
he has
we go.
Five different types of pizza
You brought it back.
Yes, I brought it back, right? and the CEO, they're sitting on boxes of pizza while we have one pizza pie that is smaller, right? And we're trying to divide it amongst ourselves.
Yeah, well, it's almost like, not to, again, keep making this about pizza, but it's almost like, the pizza you got, you had to buy from your CEO, who owns the pizza. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that's really what it ends up being, is this like cyclical, like, because I will say, and maybe I'll cut this out later, we can decide later. I think I was one of the few people that actually bought my products from where we worked. Mm-hmm. I had an online account. I very rarely took anything from places. Sometimes I would, but very rarely would I take anything. Whereas like most people, that was how they got hair product was they were, and I'm saying this across the board. Like it did not matter the function, did not matter the department. We'll probably end up cutting this out. But, I was one of the few people that paid for it. And thinking back, like, that's so insane. Why?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's to them like a $4 can of mousse. Like, what do they care if I take it? Mm-hmm. But in my mind at the beginning, I was like, well, I just want to do the right thing, and like, I'll pay for it. And you know, we got a discount. We weren't paying like retail. We were paying less than wholesale, actually. Right. But like, it's still that, like, that mentality of, even when I was so like mad all the time, I was still ordering hundreds of dollars worth of products every couple of months.
Yeah.
And you know, I have struggled with, cause I bought a bunch when I left, like 6 months worth. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, you know, what I want to do when that starts running out. Mm-hmm. It actually will start running out in the next few months here, but I don't know what I want to do, because to be honest, I struggle like continuing to give money to that particular company, even though I like the products, I like how they work. I especially like, I have a lot of scalp issues. So like, you know, some of the shampoos and stuff work really well for me. So I don't know. I haven't decided. I don't want to give them more money.
Yeah. Yeah. I bought a lot of products when I left too.
So did you buy your products when you worked there?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. So we're like the only two.
Well, I didn't buy all of them because I did, you know, sometimes have to use samples as part of.
Oh, you know, well, for sure. Like yeah, that, yeah, right? Yeah. So, I don't count that though, because that's like us like giving feedback.
And, you know, and then like things would get used in a shoot and they'll be like, oh, we can't use this anymore. Sure. Then, yeah, I would take that, right?
Yeah.
And so.
That's stuff I would give to the models though.
And things that would like, that are about to expire. I'm like, okay, I'll take those, right? And so, but I did buy products from a company as well.
Isn't it stupid though?
I mean,
like, why?
I think it was just, and especially me, I had a lot of access to products.
Yeah, I mean, I did too. I had almost free access to anything.
And so, I mean, if you think about it, why do you, you know, I don't know. I think that's a different issue, right? Those are like the perks of the job that either they could have made it clear or not clear on whether it's included or not, right? But it was just like one of those sort of gray areas.
I mean, to
be
fair, I think a lot, I think it was something that, again, almost everyone did. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's also because of the function that we were in, because not everyone had access to products in different functions.
Well, but they knew who did.
They did.
Because there were definitely people that would try to hit me up. And I would like write them a list and be like, yeah, this is what I would recommend. And then I would just like disengage because I'm not, I don't even take stuff for myself. I'm not taking it from anybody else.
Yeah, exactly.
The only exception, and I think I actually asked, it's because it was a product that hadn't been released, but someone loved it. And I think I went to somebody who kind of was in charge and I said, can I give them a couple more bottles? Cause like they love it. It's working for them. And it was like a really specific product that had a very specific purpose. And this one person just like, they loved it. And so I was like, I will get you as much as I can, but like, that's only probably going to be like a couple bottles. Cause we only have maybe 20 bottles in like in North America.
But. Yeah. I mean, but in the scheme of things, right, regardless of how long you've worked for, you know, you're not taking tens of thousands of dollars in products, right? You know, even if you were, let's say, helping yourselves to our shelves, because I did, you know, have to sometimes write notes saying like, do not take products out of this, right? But I think the bigger question is just in terms of salaries, you know, and bonuses and things like that.
Yeah, let's talk about bonuses.
Oh yeah, what do you want to talk about?
There was a huge disparity in bonuses. I mean, I remember, so my team was mainly comprised of senior managers. I was one of the only managers on my team. Especially like on the actual, like education marketing side, it was primary. I think there were only three of us that were managers. And actually two of them worked together and then there was me. And nobody else, like everybody else was a senior manager or above. And so I remember I ended up, you were actually telling me, because I was leaving in September and you were saying, no, leave in October because that's when bonuses get paid out. And I was like, okay, I don't need $200. Like, I'm fine. I just want to get out.
Yeah.
And so I've talked about this before, but we ended up cutting a deal that benefited me for me to stay another month. So I did, because why not? Which actually ended up benefiting me even longer term because of, they didn't pay me right. I got penalty pay. It was great.
Yes.
That was when I realized that all of my peers, a lot of whom did the exact same job I did, they were just categorized differently. Their bonuses were way, way bigger than my bonuses were because they were senior managers.
Yes.
And I was a manager.
Yes.
And the thing about our company is we bonused either everyone bonused or no one bonused, pretty much, I believe. And because even if like, because we had like one little piece of the company, I can bleep things out, so I'll just... where they were a little bit separated from us and sometimes even they would like hit a goal that we would all bonus on despite the fact that we had nothing to do with them really. But yeah, I mean, I will say my last bonus was more significant, but it was still, when I would talk to my peers, it was still like thousands less.
Yeah.
Than theirs was.
Your percentage is different depending on your
level. But I did the same job.
but your title wasn't the same.
But that's so stupid. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's, and that was my frustration with them, because I brought this up to them over and over and over. And I was even told at one point, like, basically, like, yes, you probably do this job the best. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, that's not how we decide how you get paid or what your title is. Which I understand to an extent. Mm-hmm. But by the time they finally came back to me with some sort of quote-unquote resolution to mm-hmm. raise my salary, mm-hmm. which, and I think I talked about this last week, mm-hmm. Not an insignificant raise. It was a pretty significant raise. However, it would have tripled my workload. Mm-hmm. I was already over capacity. Mm-hmm. I was already, you know, not getting everything I needed to get done. Mm-hmm. And someone actually said, like, well, don't let them, like, give you that work mm-hmm. until, you know, you have the title. Mm-hmm. But it was already too late because mm-hmm. they had already pushed that work to me.
Yeah.
So there was, like, maybe 2 months where I was doing that job basically for free. Mm-hmm. At one point, I think merit was supposed to kick in October. I believe they rescinded my merit without even telling me. Mm. It didn't reflect in my pay. Mm-hmm. So they rescinded my merit. So the last month I was there, I should have been making, you know, it was like 5% more. They didn't mm-hmm. give it to me. And then, I think that it was very frustrating because I was really underpaid and I kept trying to tell them the issue is not that I need, cause at this point I was over the title. For a long time, I did want the title. At that point I was like, I don't even care about the title. I just want to, like, be able to live comfortably where you're requiring me to live. Mm-hmm. And, I had brought up the point of, like, you know, I can't afford a car. I take the bus to work, which I don't really care. I would probably take the bus to work either way. I just prefer it. And then the HR person was like, okay, but this is what I'm not understanding. Like, you say that you want more money, but you're turning it down. And I was like, no, I'm turning down a tripled workload. Mm-hmm. You should just pay me what you're paying, like, everybody else. Mm-hmm. And who literally does the same job, but because, you know, the scope is different. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it's really, I think the whole size of business, I think all of that is such bullshit. Like, I don't know. The job is a job. Whether I was doing that job for a $50 million business or a $150 million business, it's the same job. Mm-hmm. It is. And I get that the scope of responsibility looks a little bit different, mm-hmm. but the actions of that job are the same. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that? Not from a marketing standpoint. I'm saying strictly from the educational standpoint. Because from a marketing standpoint, it is a little bit different.
Yeah.
but the other thing, because you said something earlier about, like, the marketing scope is so large. Mm-hmm. And there were things in marketing that I absolutely really did not touch. Mm-hmm. But not that many things. The main things were, like, I didn't go to search meetings, mm-hmm. but I incorporated search into everything. But I didn't go to the meetings. Mm-hmm. And there was, like, one other, I tried to stay out of product supply, but it's just so boring. Like,
yeah. I mean, it's the ownership of the business though, right?
But no. And you're totally marketing, 100%. Right? Yeah.
And I think, you know, it does depend on, in terms of, are you managing a $2 million business versus a $100 million business, right? So if I had to hire brand managers to do a $2 million business versus a $100 million business, the level of expertise that I would want would be different. Because while you're doing fundamentally, you know, basic work, I would need a little bit more from that $100 million business, the person who's going to manage a $100 million business, because it is going to be a much larger impact to the overall company's business. Now, with that said, you know, I do feel like, yes, a job should have a range, but not like the range that we were looking at, you know, middle income making $40,000 to $120,000 a year, right?
I mean, salary ranges are generally between, like 10 to 15 in my experience, high to low.
Yeah, and I've seen bigger ranges too. It's just, I think there has been a lot of, even, because you alluded to it too, of clarity of roles and responsibilities, and how does that really relate to your salary? Like, how does that play into your compensation? And I think because a couple of things happened, right? Like, especially in the organization that we were working for, people started leaving the company, you know, company was acquired, and, you know, things were getting very messy. And there are times when we were doing other people's jobs, you know, for a very long time, right? And
the whole time. Yes. We never had a full team, even after you left.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I think it's just, when you look at it from that perspective, then, you know, one of the things that, because I think this also plays into the culture of the company too, right? And that I know that salary was a, you know, topic that they, that came up in specifically addressing the company's culture of, hey, you have to take a look at how much people are really getting paid in the marketplace if you want to retain your employees. Mm-hmm. And then there has to be from HR's perspective, to understand that roles and responsibilities have evolved, and they should look at it across the functions, across the organization, to really understand, okay, what does this role really do? And what is the fair compensation for a role like this? Like, what is that range? And then match it up and right-size people's salaries. And I feel like that never really happened.
And it didn't. And I know this now for a fact, because I know someone who just went from that company to a competitor. Mm-hmm. And they were telling me the salary ranges. And they were very... very different. Mm-hmm. Much, much higher.
Yeah.
And I think that's what really surprised me, is because that was the line we kept being fed. Mm-hmm. Is that it's in line, it's in competition. But the thing that I kind of started asking in my last couple of months, and I actually asked the HR person this directly, is I said, you know, what I keep hearing is that you as an organization are in line with competition, or you match competition, or blah, 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 blah. But what I keep being told is that I have to outdo competition. I have to outperform, outpace, like I have to beat all the competition. Mm-hmm. So why then, especially when we're doing that successfully in many cases, why then is that not reflected back mm-hmm. in any benefits? You know what I mean? Like, it was never reflected back in a similar way, even though the expectation was so incredibly high.
Yeah.
Because we had, I think, higher expectations than were normal. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that?
You mean as an organization?
I think not as an organization, but to be put on, I would say, directors and below, I think the expectations were higher than normal. I think we, and from what we've shared in the past, VPs and above, I don't think there was a lot of, I don't know. They let things go on with VPs a lot longer, though, than I think that they would have let things go on with, like, a director.
Certain VPs. It wasn't all VPs.
No, you're right. There were VPs that I think were fine. But, like, I just think it's... And this isn't even just that our company. I think it's almost any company. Yeah. We're seeing right now Peloton CEO being ousted. But that's, like, so rare mm-hmm. that a CEO is replaced alongside a big... sort of layoff, like what Peloton is going through.
Yeah, but he joined the board of directors, so you know, it's not
right. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It's still not a true like.
Yeah, I think again, I you know, salary is just one of those things, and I think we shared, you know, you and I, this tweet about this HR professional who was talking about how, you know, she paid someone $80,000 because that person, you know. Asked for that, but the role was actually, you know, they had budget for $130,000.
Yeah.
And you sit there and go, I mean, but why, right? Because if you truly valued hiring that person and that person's expertise and what they were going to bring to the organization, then, you know, because I think once they're in the organization and they start working and they start talking to other people, not that everyone's transparent about exactly how much they make, you're going to start to realize, oh, I'm severely underpaid.
Yeah.
And that person is going to want to leave, right? And that is a horrible, horrible, horrible retention strategy, right? And so I don't understand why we do things like that, right? It just makes no sense to me. And then, you know, and then again, the other part of sometimes, yeah, people, candidates do ask for a lot of money. And then you wonder, even as a hiring person, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, like if you think that you can make a couple thousand dollars less than me as a manager, then I'm doing something wrong too. Or is this going on? You know, what is going on? And then so you try to keep, you know, you go out there and you try to see what your net worth, like what you're worth.
Yeah.
It just makes for a bad morale and just a bad, you know, all around feeling, because especially if you are passionate about what you do and you enjoy it and things like that, that's just a dampener that you don't need.
Sure. All right. Well, this was fun.
I don't know if we've covered everything that you wanted to cover.
I don't even. That's fine. Honestly, I don't know why I want to do these episodes, because they just make me mad. Like, but it's okay. All right. Well, we're out of time. You can follow us on Instagram at Corporate Rehab. Whatever. You can find our Instagram.
Please
leave us a rating, interview, on whatever platform you're listening to us on. Thank you so much. Thank you, Nami. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Michael. Bye.
Bye.